আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহ আলহামদুলিল্লাহ ওয়া কাফা ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমান কাসীরান কাসীরা। আম্মা বা'দ, ফাকাদ ক্বালা আল্লাহু তাবারাকা ওয়া তাআলা ফিল কুরআনিল মাজীদ, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا، يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا، ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا، صدق الله العظيم. Just this morning there was a mayit. Most of you must have seen the notice on the board. Ismail Desai had passed away and his janaza namaz was this morning. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the family sabr e jameel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the marhum's maghfirat and grant him high stages in Jannat. But if we have to go by the outward, then passing away in Ramadan Sharif, the first 10 days of Ramadan Sharif, days of Rahmat, and then on top of it to pass away on the day of Jumu'ah, Thursday night he passed away, so it's Jumu'ah, and to be buried on the day of Jumu'ah, it's just Noorun ala Noor, just so much barakat upon barakat, light upon light. So these type of moats, as my Shaykh Azman Spatel Sahib Daan Barakatum, he says, Qabile Rashk. This type of moat, everyone yearns for this type of a death. The other day we were in the hospital and we met one brother there. He is in and out of the hospital, in and out. Very gone, very, very weak now, advanced in age. Every now and again, he's back in the hospital. So when we met him there, so he's saying, you know what, just make one dua for me, that Allah Pak must take me out. I must be able to enjoy my tarawees. Because he was a five-time namazi. He was a person who would never miss a tarawee. And now for him in Ramadan Sharif to be sitting in a hospital bed, it's really eating him up, it's finishing him up. That I can't be in a state of roza. I can't be getting my tarawees in the masjid. And many of us who have got good health, but we are not availing ourselves for these wonderful opportunities. So we don't know what our old age is going to be like. So to console the brother, so we told him the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in your good days, in your young days, when you have got good health, in those days, if you made ibadat, you were a five-time namazi, you were doing other nawafil, ibadat, etc. And then now in your old age, you are sick and you can't do those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still going to give you the sawab of all that amal. Because Allah Pak knows that if you had health, you would have definitely been doing all those things. Because your whole life, that was your habit, that was your ma'mool. But then he said, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mustn't make me muhtaj on anybody. I mustn't become dependent on anybody. And make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must take me to Medina Sharif and don't bring me back. After that, when it comes to the end of our lives, what else matters? What else matters in the end? How palatial a home we may have lived in, how luxurious a motor car we may have driven, how wonderful a profession we may have enjoyed, how huge an empire we may have been running. But when it comes down to the end, all these things fade away into insignificance. In the end, it is, how am I going to now face my Allah? How am I going to go to my Allah? This life of guna, wallahi, we can see it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in our hayati that this life of guna, it is bringing us nothing but misery. Nothing but misery. In the Qabristan, I was standing with my Shaykh, with my Spatah Sahib, on Barakatum. So he asked me, kuch puchna hai, puch lo. Qabristan sabse behtareen jagah hai puchne ke liye. He said, if you want to ask something, ask. The Qabristan is the best place to ask. And I was thinking about it after he had gone, that if you look at that Qabristan, and if we have to look at our ahwal at the moment, the conditions around us, that Qabristan is really a very, very peaceful place. Minus the living people. While the living people are there, then you will still hear oil price and car price and bank repo rate and this and that. All those stories will still be taking place. But when all the living people are out and you're only left with the dead, then it's a very, very peaceful place on the top. What's happening beneath the qabr that we don't know inside what's happening. But on the top, it's a very, very peaceful place. Then my mind went on to a train of thought, because I met somebody there and he made some statements, that if we have to just think back a little bit, those people who are not even very old, people that are around my age, and the older people, they may have seen even better days. But if we go back, there was a time when teachers were still called teachers, not educators, and learners, they were called children. They were called children. They were not given a title of learner. They were called children. There was a time when they had hearts of gold. I remember when I had gone to Darul Uloom, I was at that time, I just finished what is called now grade 6, that time was standard 4. And I went to Darul Uloom, and in those days you did up to your grade 7, I think even now your grade 7 is in the primary school. So I had 1 year left to finish that primary school level and then go into high school. But I left that 1 year and I went away to Darul Uloom. Towards the end of the year, for some reason I had come back home. And now there was only one term left. Only one term left. And my father said, well, now you came home, now you rather just go back to school. What are you going to sit and do here in the house? You rather go to school and attend school for the last term. So he went and he spoke to the principal. He spoke to the teacher, my teacher who taught me in standard 4. And he was a non-Muslim person. His name was Mr. M.R. Chetty. Unfortunately, he passed away a non-Muslim. And so we can't even make dua for him. But he told my father, you don't worry. I will get this boy ready for the exam. And he put in so much of effort, so much of effort. And he wasn't getting paid for his time. On his own, he photocopied one of the other students in the class, all the homework books, all the worksheets, everything. He put it all in files, and he used to sit with me and teach me, and he taught me the whole year's work in that one term. And he did such a good job that I didn't only write the examination, but I came out second in the class that time. After going to school for one term. So this was the hearts of the teachers. They were also teaching at a time when their contemporaries or their counterparts who had a different skin color were earning so much more than them, and who were teaching in much more favorable conditions than them. But their heart was in the right place. Their hearts were in the right place. That they had the interest of the community at heart. They were public servants, that we are here to serve the community. Teachers were never wealthy people. They lived in humble homes. They drove a little motor car. But they had good hearts. And they went out of their way for their pupils. They took the children. Those children were really like their children. Whether they were Muslim teachers, whether they were non-Muslim teachers. Those of us that can think back. Think back in school days. And think how those teachers were like real role models. How those teachers had feeling for the children and how they looked after the class. The teachers now we know are on strike. If you have to listen to their side of the story, you don't blame them. They say, look at the government, they got so much money, they're squandering the money and the inflation rate is so high and they're only giving us this much increase. So who's right and who's wrong, we're not going into that. But I want us to go back a little bit. That was teachers, right? Then if we have to look at in the police force, the policeman was a person you could go to for help. If you've seen a policeman, you felt a little bit at ease. Today, do we feel that way with regards to the police force? Today, if your alarm goes, you say, rather go there quickly before the cops come, because whatever the chore never steal, the cops might take away something. Today we are hearing of people in senior positions in the police force that are turning out to be fraudsters, they are turning out to be petty thieves, and they are in the police force. So that is the police force. Then if we have to take the hospitals, yesterday my maid working for us, she had to go to the hospital. So she told us in advance that she won't be coming because she needs to go to the hospital. Then she phones from there in the morning and say, you know what, there's nobody helping us here. They're all on strike. Where did we find this before? In the hospitals, that people went away on strike. Nurses are on strike, doctors are on strike, everybody is on strike. Where is that compassion? Where is that compassion for the dying patient? When the person became a nurse, he knew that I am there to serve these sick people. So he had his heart, or she had her heart, in the right place. And they went all out and they served. Whatever they needed to do, they did. And they never fought about petty issues. They went out of their way and they served in their respective roles as community, you know, servants, public servants. That is in all the government departments. Forget that. If we come lower and we come home,